Christmas, the program devoted to those of you who have come to realize or at least open to the recognition that all of the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt and counterproductive. I am Yada. If you'd like to join us anytime over the next 2 hours, our number is toll-free, 877-376-45. It is, as I predicted it would be, this Muslim migrant crisis in Europe has already taken a violent turn, not only in Turkey, where they have rioted against the police, but throughout Greece. Most prevalent is on the Greek island of Lesbos, which has been flooded with around 25,000 Muslims, most of them from either Afghanistan or Syria, two countries that the United States has bombed and invaded. Lesbos' proximity to Turkey, only 6 miles off its shore, has resulted in the island becoming one of Europe's most dramatically impacted area. The island, which has a population of around 85,000, is now housing more than 25,000 Syrian and Afghan Muslims. And they continue to arrive in waves, just as Yahweh predicted they would. Now, tension has been rising on the island as the migrants wait at times for days to be issued immigration documents from the European Union. Citing the German RTL News, accusations by Afghans of supposed preferential treatment of Syrians have resulted in vicious and violent clashes between the Syrian and the Afghan Muslims. They have turned Lesbos into a war zone. Why do you suppose that is? It's not just because they're Muslims. It's not just because jihad is central to Islam. It is because in Syria, those fleeing the Islamic State, because we have weakened the Assad regime, are Shia Muslims. And the vast preponderance of Afghani Muslims, who are now refugees because we bombed and invaded that country too, are Sunni Muslims. They're bringing their war with them. Now, before we continue in this article, we have Rob having called in from Indiana. He is one of several, I understand, that has a solution to our cleaning the lady problem, and maybe wants to apply for the job at $50 an hour. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Craig. I definitely would not want to apply for that job.
Okay.
And
I was just being funny. I'm not very funny.
I know you are, but I have worked in the cleaning business. In fact, I'm retired from it. I'm 67 in the Cincinnati area. In fact, I live about 60 miles west of Cincinnati, and I've spent a lot of time in the cleaning business in Cincinnati.
Uh-huh.
And I also know the area real well. Now, some things are very obvious. When you go down to Newport at nighttime, you have the Doomy girls. They're walking up and down the street with shirts on that say, "Do me."
Great.
Yeah, okay. So, anyway.
I think I'll pass.
Cincinnati is...
What they say, just say no.
Yeah, just say no. If you see any girls with a beer shirt on, with a gas can wanting to be acting like they've run out of gas, do not want to pick them up or have anything to do with them. They've got other things in mind.
Okay. They're looking for more than just petrol for their tanks.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, okay.
So the Cincinnati people refer to as a very economically conservative area. But
the northern suburbs are. That's why they continue to elect Boehner as Speaker of the House. But Ohio as a whole and the city of Cincinnati are actually quite liberal.
Right. Well, yeah, they're extremely liberal. Anyway, I was going to say from my own experience that I have extreme doubts that this woman was in the cleaning business.
Well,
She catches my drift.
Well, I guess so. Maybe that's why she was driving an Escalade. She certainly didn't have the appeal of for anything else, but maybe it's just that my mind wasn't in the gutter at the time, and I didn't recognize the solicitation. You know, I was thinking yesterday as I was driving in Cincinnati, and I've been commenting on this for a long time. When you're out driving, you can really see, experience the processing speed, the judgment, the awareness of those around you. You know, if a light changes, how long does it take them to respond? If traffic has stopped coming and they want to make a left turn, how long does it take them to process? Oh, boy, now I can make my turn now. You know, where is their awareness in terms of driving? And I don't think I've ever been in a place where people are slower mentally. I mean, this
well, you
is...
You don't want to come to Indiana. Because the people from Ohio, when they get into Indiana, down goes the pedal and up goes the speed.
Wow.
You know, to me, when I go there, it seems like they drive like crazy. You think they're Easterners.
Oh, wow. Well, I, having come from both California and Virginia, I can tell you that the difference between the... Now, California drivers are very aggressive, way too aggressive, and execute... process things quickly, but execute very poor judgment in terms of being considerate, very inconsiderate, and actually borderline dangerous is the nature of a California driver.
Well, I was there in February with my wife, and I didn't think it was too bad, but we always avoided the times of day when the traffic was going to be heavy.
Yeah. Then in Virginia, it was slower and more congenial, but. Wow. I mean, it's an adventure every time you go out to drive in Ohio. I do not know what they have done in this state to slow people down in terms of their ability to respond, to act, to assimilate the information around them, but it is, it's horrifying. So, you're of the conclusion, having been in the cleaning business, that $25 an hour for somebody to clean a home is probably reasonable, but those soliciting more are soliciting more than cleaning.
That's what I would suspect, and it may be the woman is out trying to find people that are senile and that would not know that, not anymore be able to tell that that was an unreasonable price.
Okay. No, in fact, in the community that I live in, the majority of the homeowners are retired to Procter & Gamble. They're mostly in their 70s and above and have spent considerable time with Procter & Gamble. I think that was probably a stimulating culture that they were in there 20 years removed from it.
Yes.
Okay, well, I appreciate it, Rob.
That's the comment I wanted to make. Also, welcome to Babylon. That's some counties over there are like 97% Catholic, and the other 3% maybe snake handlers or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been in a place that had as an overreaching, stifling presence of Roman Catholicism. And it's not just in the massive Catholic churches. It's also in their schools. Not only is Xavier, you know, a Catholic school right under our nose, but the dominant schools, the schools that people rally around here, they have their bumper stickers for, that they wear sweaters and shirts and blaze it on, is a school called Mueller, which is and I think it's a Mueller Crusaders. It's a high school. But a Catholic high school, of course, and they are—they have a big rival. That's another Catholic high school. But the prevalence of Catholic schools here is enough to make you gag. And every time I see one, I just shout out, you know, what in the world is wrong with these people? That as a parent, you send your child to a Catholic school, you might as well abuse them yourself. I mean, why would anyone trust their child to an institution that has abused hundreds of thousands of little boys and little girls sexually?
Yeah, well, I've heard that Cincinnati is the capital for child pornography film production in the country. So,
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, because it's certainly the center of it. And I've spent a lot of time in the Boston area, and yet the just stifling nature of Roman Catholicism in Boston is nothing compared to what it is in the Cincinnati, Ohio area.
Well, I guess in South Bend probably has.
Okay, I haven't been in Boston since probably 1962. This is a little bit random, but when I was out there as a boy, they had shacks that were piled on top of each other, 4 and 5 stories high, made out of brick and rotting wood from back the time of the Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Have they torn all those down yet? I know they were in the process of putting in public housing, but...
Yeah, I think they've mostly public housing. You know what was amazing is that yesterday the Pope, the man that calls himself the Holy Father, when Yahweh said, don't allow anyone to ever call you that. Don't call anybody that. He was saying that the refugee problem, the Muslims who are migrating into Europe by the millions, was because of the God of money. The God of money is the reason that they're there. Now, it had nothing to do with the God of Islam, telling them to kill everyone who doesn't surrender to them. So beyond the fact that he was oblivious to the obvious, that Islam was the source of the hell that has caused them to migrate, can you imagine any institution on earth that has elevated money to a divine status that would be has done so to a greater extent than the Roman Catholic Church?
I can't. No.
I mean, they have their own bank, for crying out loud. When 30 years ago, when I was just out of college, a friend of mine went into banking, and he was a personal banker for large depositors. His largest client was the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. Just the Archdiocese of Los Angeles had CDs in the billions of dollars. The Roman Catholic Church has turned money into a god. And yet they're saying that the Syrian and Afghani and Libyan Muslim migration crisis and Iraqi migration crisis has nothing to do with Islam. No, it's not Allah that's caused it. It's the god of money. Well, I tell you what, hypocrite and religion are synonymous concepts, and no one takes it to a greater extreme than the communist that is the head of the Roman Catholic Church. You know, it's amazing, even in these debates, the Republicans won't touch the man, even though he opposes everything they believe in. You're going to leave.
You know, Craig, I don't really have a horse in this race, but I have to say it is kind of humorous that somebody in Indiana, the home of Notre Dame, St. Mary's, just South Bend is probably the Vatican of America, is calling out Cincinnati.
Rob, I didn't mean for you to hang up on that, but that was pretty funny. But let's turn back to an absolute religious cesspool. And this religious cesspool is not necessarily in Syria, although you can't take the Muslim out of the Syrian. It's not necessarily in Afghanistan, although you can't take the Muslim out of the Afghani. It's in Lesbos, Greece, where some 25,000 Muslims from Afghanistan and Syria are fighting with each other and attacking the local community. This from a resident. She says, rocks and bottles fly along with municipal trash bins. She said, we are in danger every day. She broke down crying. Every minute of every day, we live in fear. We need someone to protect us. They come into our homes. I want to go to work, but I can't. Our children want to go to school, but they can't. They have stolen our lives. That's 25,000 of them. There are 20 million of them. Are you ready for this, Europe? Look what you're bringing into your home. Take a good look, Europe. Life will never be the same. Another yells at the migrants who are flinging rocks at her as they pass her home. The main town of Lesbos now resembles a war zone as the Muslims rip apart the infrastructure and use the town as if it were their collective urinal. The mayor is helpless in the face of such an onslaught, but he's out of ideas. And he's calling on the European Union to do something. You're screaming in the wrong direction. If I were to get to the heart of the matter, and this came up in the debate last night, there was a period of time where Trump, having taken a number of shots on the chin, turned to jab at Jeb Bush, who was only in the race because he's raised more money than all the rest of the Republicans combined and more than both Democrats combined. But has a soaring popularity of about 5% among Republican voters. Trump said, he said, you know, your brother was such a bad president that he's the reason that we have Obama. It was because of the disaster of the Bush presidency. And old Jeb came back, he says, but my brother, he kept us safe. And the Republicans in the audience swooned and applauded. The worst attack in American history on American soil took place 9 months into the Bush presidency. How was that keeping us safe? He then created a whole pile of lies to have Americans invade Afghanistan and engage in America's longest war, where we made a bad situation worse and spurred on this migrant crisis that will bring the country to its knees. How is that keeping us safe? He is the man that on a pile of lies invaded Iraq, breaking the country. Both invasions led to the deaths of over 10,000 Americans in Iraq and Afghanistan. Another 250,000 taking their lives, committing suicide back home. How is that keeping Americans safe? Why is it that Trump, the man who is supposed to be quick on his feet, was incapable of asking those questions? Scott, what's your response?
I was going to actually bring up another part of the... Well, the whole keep us safe thing is, that's stupid to begin with. There's two oceans that do more to keep us safe than anything else we could possibly do.
Yes. And our military certainly hasn't done anything
Last time I checked, ISIS doesn't have a navy.
No, last time I checked, the Islamic State doesn't have an air force. They don't have a navy. They cannot project a force. They are not a threat to America. Here's a comment from another Greek in Lesbos. This is a summation of Muslims in Europe. This is a ticking time bomb that will go off soon. We have managed to avert catastrophes in the past, but there is no way to avert this one.
Wow. I remember the point where Jeb says, "Oh, my brother kept us safe," and the crowd erupts. You know, they cheer.
Oh, swooned.
They swooned. They cheered.
Yeah. He led to the deaths of 1 million Iraqis and Afghanis, 10,000 Americans in Iraq, in addition to who were avenging the deaths of 3,000 Americans in the. In New York and in Washington. And then on top of that, he created such a morass of morality, of immorality over there, that another 250,000 Americans who served that nincompoop, took their lives when they came back, kept us safe. Yeah, right.
It goes beyond even that. Right? Think about all the countries that he got to come in and help. All those have to go on him, too.
Oh, yeah, and think of the fact that as a result of, as a direct result of his moronic and dishonest, immoral and counterproductive, irrational invasion of Iraq, that right now there are tens of millions of Muslims that are now the ticking time bomb in the United States and throughout Europe. Think of the hell that man unleashed. And you don't, and yet you have the Republicans in the audience swooning him as if, wow, isn't that wonderful? We long for that period again. None of them willing to take responsibility for having elected a man, having supported a man that did this disastrous thing to America. Beyond that, he bankrupted the country. He inherited a $250 billion budget surplus, which he promptly turned into a $1.7 trillion deficit.
Worst investment banker ever.
Bankrupting a country does not make it safe.
Makes
it vulnerable.
There was another point during that debate. That was the first moment where I was like, wow, these guys
are idiots.
This crowd is lost.
Yes, there was another candidates.
There was another point where Rand Paul.
That was my highlight too. Go ahead.
He goes, Rand Paul made the comment, "We do not need, nor do I want another war in Iraq."
Right.
And it felt like five people in the crowd clapped for that.
Right. Yeah, in fact, that was the place where Rand Paul is the only candidate amongst the million that are running. I know that's a slight exaggeration. There's only like 15 of them. Rand Paul is the only candidate that's running that differentiates himself from the others. All of the others, including Trump, want to substantially increase the size of the U.S. military and to increase the engagements of the U.S. military, all of which have caused these very problems that are bringing the world to its knees. And here's the one lone voice that says, no, we do not need another war in Iraq. You know, that was stupid. Look what it caused. And you have five people out of that enormous crowd clap. And when the news commentators this morning were saying that that was the only point of differentiation that wasn't cosmetic during the entire debate, and he found absolutely no support amongst the other candidates who were wholly hawkish or in the Republican base that attended the debate. Now you know they're lost. Yeah, so your seminal moment in the debate was the same as mine. Why don't you play for us, Scott, a video? I'm going to introduce it by just telling you that the video was sent to me by Richard, who runs the BlessYahweh.com website, where the archives of this program are not only available, but labeled by content, and has available all of the books, probably a better presentation of them than I have on the various sites devoted to them. Richard sent me something that he even prefaced it by saying, you know, I know that you're loath to watch videos. It's not my favorite thing to do. I much prefer to read than I do to listen to a video. But in this particular situation, listening was far better. This is from a retired United States general. His name is General Lloyd. His name is Admiral Lyons. So, from the Navy, Admiral Lyons has just been introduced in a private meeting that was being videotaped, and he was introduced by none other than Secretary of State John Kerry. And so this is what Admiral Lyons, who is now very much retired, not trying to feather his own nest, actually willing to expose the truth. This is what he had to say.
Pleased to have Admiral James Lyons with us. Sir, welcome.
Well, thank you, Frank. Sorry I missed the earlier presentations due to my 3-hour and 20-minute commute this morning. But, you know, as a number of you heard me say before, we've had many opportunities to change the course of history. And it hasn't mattered whether it's been a Republican or Democratic administration. We failed every one of them, starting with Carter, when the takeover of our embassy. We could have cut off Khomeini and his Islamic fundamentalism at the knees. We were going to take Carg Island, and he rejected it. We could have walked in. The next time was the Marine barracks bombing. And you all probably wonder why we never responded. I won't go into the long detail, but the guy that sabotaged the strike, and I'm glad you're all sitting down, was the Secretary of Defense. Not once, but twice. Reagan approved the French wanted to do a combined strike, and Reagan approved it, and Weinberger wouldn't issue the order. I have personally talked to George Shultz and Bud McFarlane. They told me they pleaded with him, and he wouldn't do it. You have to say, who the hell got to him, or what got to him? I've never been able to get an answer on that. In the Gulf Tanker War in 87, we were going to bring down the Khomeini regime. You know, and the guy that sabotaged, I had briefed Weinberger at my headquarters at Pearl Harbor that summer. And this was going to be in August of 87. And the one who undercut us the most was our own chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Crow, at the time. You know, if you go forward and you look at, you know, we shot down by accident that Iranian civilian airliner a few months later. And what did Khomeini do? He said, I'm drinking from the chalice of poison. And he said, I have to make a truce with Saddam Hussein because the Americans have shown they're coming in on Iraq's side. Well, think of what the hell we could have done had we executed the strike we wanted to do in August of 87. You know, we all say we have to identify the threat. Well, I think the one who identified it the best was Erdogan from Turkey when he said, Islam is Islam. There are no modifiers. Democracy is the train we ride to our ultimate objective. He couldn't have said it any plainer. And until you recognize that Islam is a political movement masquerading as a religion, you're never going to come to grips with it. And as far as a strategy, let me just conclude one thing. And as I just had in my latest op-ed, the Obama administration has a strategy. It's very simple. Any thinking American should be able to grasp it. It's anti-American, anti-Western, it's pro-Islamic, it's pro-Iranian, and pro-Muslim Brotherhood. And with that, I'll yield the mic.
Thank you, sir.
Wow. You know, I've spent considerable time with Bud McFarland, one of the names on that Les got to know Bud quite well. And spent time with Weinberger as well. Bud McFarlane is an interesting character, Weinberger not. But, of course, I think one of the most powerful lines that has ever been stated in terms of with the potential to awaken the comatose is Erdogan's. Erdogan is the prime minister of Turkey. He's a fundamentalist Muslim. He was being touted by the West as the exemplar for Muslim nations, as a moderate Muslim, as a Muslim who could do business with Israel, as a Muslim who could rise to power in a democracy, as the sane voice of Islam, the one that we could work with. And, of course, since that time, in fact, at that time, Erdogan mocked those who were making those statements. He says, Islam is Islam. There are no modifiers. There is no such thing as moderate Islam. It's too bad that people don't listen. Because occasionally a politician will tell you the truth. And since that time, of course, Erdogan has imprisoned every political rival. He's imprisoned every member of the media who would dare criticize him. He's imprisoned every general who would confront him. And he and his party have established Turkey as a fundamentalist Islamic dictatorship. This is Erdogan. Islam is Islam. There are no modifiers. He then went on to say that Islam is a political movement masquerading as a religion. It is important to recognize...
We're very pleased to have Admiral James Lyons with us. Sir, welcome.
Well, thank you, Frank. Sorry I missed the earlier presentations due to my 3-hour and 20-minute commute this morning. But, you know, as a number of you heard me say before, we've had many opportunities to change the course of history. And it hasn't mattered whether it's been a Republican or Democratic administration. We failed every one of them, starting with Carter. Went to take over of our embassy. We could have cut off Khomeini and his Islamic fundamentalism at the knees. We were going to take Cog Island, and he rejected it. We could have walked in. The next time was the Marine Barracks bombing. And you all probably wonder why we never responded. I won't go into the long detail, but the guy that sabotaged the strike, and I'm glad you're all sitting down, was the Secretary of Defense. Not once, but twice. Reagan approved the French wanted to do a combined strike, and Reagan approved it, and Weinberger wouldn't issue the order. I have personally talked to George Shultz and Bud McFarlane. They told me they pleaded with him, and he wouldn't do it. You have to say, who the hell got to him, or what got to him? I've never been able to get an answer on that. In the Gulf Tanker War in 87, we were going to bring down the Khomeini regime. You know, and the guy that sabotaged, I had Brief Weinberger at my headquarters at Pearl Harbor that summer. And this was going to be in August of 87. And the one who undercut us the most was our own chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Crow, at the time. You know, if you go forward and you look at, you know, we shot down by accident that Iranian civilian airliner a few months later. And what did Khomeini do? He said, I'm drinking from the chalice of poison. And he said, I have to make a truce with Saddam Hussein, because the Americans have shown they're coming in on Iraq's side. Well, think of what the hell we could have done had we executed the strike we wanted to do in August of 87. You know, we all say we have to identify the threat. Well, I think the one who identified it the best was Erdogan from Turkey when he said, Islam is Islam. There are no modifiers. Democracy is the train we ride to our ultimate objective.
There it was, Kirk. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, because those of us who've studied Islam a little bit certainly know that that's absolutely true. If it were not for democracy enforced on Iraq, then they couldn't have voted their religion in. And once the religion is in, the Imams decide who's going to do what. And obviously the Shias took charge of Iraq and tried to drive out the Sunnis. The one thing in the debate last night that never came up was when they talk about Iran, all these fine Christians, so-called, on the dais, forgot to mention the fact that they killed over 1 million Christians. You know, they wiped them out. And who was responsible for that? The dictator certainly didn't. didn't wipe them out. It was us by allowing them to take over. So, yeah.
By using our military to keep us safe.
By using our military. And then when one side got bigger than the other, we and they betray us, gives them all the weapons in the world to the other side. I mean, it's absurd. If that's the moral high ground, as one of them said, I wanted to throw something at the TV. I mean, last night I had to go walk my dog in the middle of it.
Well, like I said, there was two points where it was crystal clear to me that they're lost. There's nothing that those people could ever do that they will do. It's not that there's not anything that they couldn't do. There's nothing those people will do to walk away from their Babylon. So, and like I said, the one was the, you know, well, my brother kept us safe, and then the other one was the Rand Paul.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right, I'm going to try and get Craig back here, and then
okay.
We'll be back.
We'll continue
next hour.